I think you could make a living as a ukulele player. I think you should give up. I think you should give up all this communication stuff. You could start a new business. Let me create your introduction for your podcast on myukulele.com.
You're listening to Stand Out, Get Noticed, the show that helps you communicate with confidence so you can stand out from the crowd and get noticed by all the right people. If you want to be a person of influence and achieve success in business and in life, this podcast is for you. To subscribe to the show, go to thecmethod.com. Oh, hey, hi there, rockstar. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Christina Canters. Thank you so much for joining me. It's episode 55. I'd like to dedicate this episode to listener Marcos, who asked me, how do I get on more stages? Now, a lot of content on this podcast is dedicated to helping you become a better speaker. And maybe you have become a better speaker as a result of listening, implementing, and practicing, in which case is fantastic. And you might be at a point now where you want to go out there and present, you know, present at conferences or schools, organizations, and networking events. All of these are valuable opportunities for you to share your message, to get more exposure for your brand, and hey, potentially make some money. But you might be thinking, well, how do I get these speaking opportunities? How can I get known as a speaker in my industry? And here's the big one, how do I get paid to speak? So to give you some guidance, I'm very excited to have professional speaker, speechwriter, and author Peter Billingham on the show. I actually first interviewed Peter on my first podcast, Design, Draw, Speak. He was the second person I had ever interviewed. And I mean, it was over 2 years ago. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can listen to that episode and you can hear how nervous I was at the time. It's hilarious. But hey, you got to start somewhere, right? So Peter has been a speechwriter and a professional speaker for many, many years. You can find him at peterbillingham.com, where he helps speakers become entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs become speakers. But he's doing something else that's also really interesting. He wanted to explore what it's like to start a speaking business from scratch in a new niche. So he recently launched Death Goes Digital as a case study business in the funeral industry. In this conversation, we talked about the 5 steps that he's taken to start and grow his new speaking business. So if you want to build authority in your niche, get more opportunities to speak at events, and get paid to speak, this episode is for you. Show notes will be at thecmethod.com/Peter. Also, if you work at a co-work space or are interested in the concept of co-working and innovation in the workplace, stay tuned until the end. I have an event that may be of interest to you. Okay, let's get to the conversation with Peter Billingham. We start off by talking about his current work in the funeral industry, which is writing and delivering eulogies. I was curious to find out more about the art of speaking at a funeral. How is delivering a speech at a funeral different to delivering a speech, say, at a party?
Okay, the stakes are much higher, for one thing, because you only get one chance. You can't go back the week after and say, you know, I didn't do really well with that. Can I come back next week and have another go? You can't do that. It's an emotionally charged event, which is very different from, like, say, an after dinner speech. I mean, people have usually had a few drinks and they're quite happy and whatever. It really keeps you on your toes. And when you're writing, you have to really write from the audience's perspective. It's no good me thinking this is what I want to say. I've got to sit and I've got to listen, and I might spend 2, 3, 4 hours with a family talking about this person, because I end up doing services that are very different than other people. I don't have like a template or anything like that. And then what I'm trying to do is how can I encapsulate 78 years of somebody's life in 20 minutes and make it memorable? So it's very different to speak in that environment than, let's say, even a Toastmaster speech. Mm. An average eulogy is 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes. And to write something meaningful really starts to build your speech writing skills. I'm getting better at it now, getting quicker at it.
And how else has it, in terms of actually delivering the speech, how has that helped you now in your general public speaking skills?
Empathy, being able to strongly identify with an audience, find out what an audience, not what you're not trying to sort of find out what an audience wants to hear. That's the wrong way of saying it. Finding out what's really important to that audience and being able to communicate a message. You've still got to communicate a message, but you've got to be able to do it not with just, well, this is the message I want to deliver and you're going to hear it, but really trying to understand what's this person's life, you know, because everybody's unique. How can I make the words come together in such a way that it really helps people remember this person? Telling somebody's life story to an audience who are missing that person desperately, it's very challenging. I love it. I mean, it's a bit, people think it's a bit weird really, but you know, I find it very rewarding. And I don't say it to the people that I work with, but I really appreciate the fact that it's strengthening my speaking skills no end, because to be able to communicate empathy and be able to communicate with sensitivity, that's where you speak to the heart of somebody. And whether, you know, ultimately you're selling you know, a guy who's got a lawn care company is selling his ability to mow your lawn better than anybody else can do. And that is an emotional connection. It's not just, you know, it's not, well, it's going to cost you $100 for me to mow your lawn. It's more than that. It's like your lawn's going to look better than anybody else's lawn. You know, how do you communicate that? Well, words can help you do that. So yeah, eulogy writing's quite an interesting job.
And is that what then prompted you to start Death Goes Digital?
No, I was just looking for a niche.
Okay, so you were looking to use a case study for your speaking, to grow a speaking business, and okay. So you went round it kind of the other way.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, what do I know about? Mm. I kept looking and thinking, where's there a little angle here? And so what Death Goes Digital does is sits between the funeral industry and technology and talks about how the two are interacting between the two and how culture is shaping and consumers are shaping the funeral industry because of technology. And there's so much to talk about with that. It's very niche. Mm. But for instance, I looked at it and said, well, actually, it happens to all of us. Mortality rate stands at about 100% at the moment, and you're not going to get out of that at the moment. And so, although in England there's, you know, I'm really targeting independent funeral directors, I think there's about 8,000 of them. There's enough there to last me the rest of my working life. You know, does it impact everybody else? No, a lot of other people are switched off. That doesn't matter. Actually, it helps because you know who you really want to talk to. If you're talking leadership, man, it's a bit like you're talking communication. Your market's huge. Who do you talk to? You know, you got to try and think, no, there's my audience. And yeah, I'm excluding those, but that doesn't matter because I know exactly the ones that I want to speak to.
So with the actual speaking part of Death Goes Digital, because you're saying this is your case study speaking business.
Yeah.
So the speaking part of that, is that the eulogy?
No, it's
speaking?
Not.
Okay, what's the actual speaking?
The speaking
component?
Part of that would be speaking at events, industry events, funeral industry events, conferences, and that could be on subjects like what I'm talking about, how digital disruption is impacting the funeral industry. So at the moment, I've got a couple of conferences, I suppose, are there only small conferences where people are talking about digital legacy, and I'm getting on the speakers list for those.
What's the first thing that you did with this new speaking business?
I wrote a book, and that became my credibility factor.
Okay.
Because then it opens doors, because you, although it's something I wrote myself and self-published it, which isn't difficult to do, took a little bit of time, it's amazing the credibility it gives you when you want to go and speak somewhere, when you walk in and say, would you like a copy of the book that I've written on this subject?
So you get it physically printed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Something I've heard about books is that it has thud factor.
Yeah, let me show you.
Peter's getting his book and he's going to slam it down. Look. He's about to... Yeah, oh, wow, there it is. Death goes digital. Can I hear how it thuds? That's a great thud. I would hire you, Peter, with that kind of thud.
But it just has credibility.
So first step, write a book, which is not that easy for most
of us. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that a bit, because that sounds, for a lot of people, a really big deal. And actually, it's self-discipline. You know, all of us have a story to tell. It doesn't matter what business we're in, what kind of organization we're working for. If we're asked to talk, and if you're a speaker, man, you should be able to just speak. If you think you're going to make a living from speaking, if you can't just speak, you're not going to make it. That's the simple answer. So what do? I started thinking about what could I write about that's different. And I actually used a program called Scrivener.
Scrivener.
And I don't know whether you've come across Scrivener. Scrivener is a piece of software that's brilliant for writing on. It's about $35, $40 US, and it is a beautiful piece of software, very simple, of which to write on. Rather than having a Word document or something where you're having pages and pages long document and trying to sort it out and collate it, Scrivener gives you the possibility to write and then to reorganize your ideas very simply. And I found that tremendously helpful. So what I use is Dragon Dictate. And Dragon Dictate is a very good bit of software. Now, it's not expensive. You stick a microphone on and you speak. And out of the box, it is almost 98% perfect of your speech. As they say, don't they? 67% of all percentages are made up on the spot. Well, that's probably the same. It's probably the same with Dragon. But to be honest, you can take it out of the box, you can plug it in, and it learns your voice, it learns and you train it. But really, the latest product is excellent. So I would literally sit with Scrivener with the headset on, and I would think about this particular book, Death Goes Digital, is two halves. What's happening in the industry? How could a funeral director use LinkedIn? And to start off with, I would just think, well, what could I write about with LinkedIn? Well, it ended up with seven things about LinkedIn. It's seven longer blog posts is all it is. Mm. And then you write, you sit and speak. And, you know, it may be a huge percent of it is rubbish. It doesn't matter, because you come back and you edit it. And then you do that a few times. And it's a much simpler way of trying to write a book. It took me 6 months. But to be honest, I probably... with everything else that was going on, if I looked at how much time it really took me, it wasn't that long. It wasn't that long. So I wrote the book. I went back and edited it, and then I published it through CreateSpace. I had somebody to format it for me and even with Scrivener, you can output the document in a final format for ebooks and whatever, but I particularly wanted it formatted in a certain way. So I found a great VA who formatted it for me. And to publish it as a print version through CreateSpace is very simple, very, very simple. The only recommendation I would make to anybody is to pay for a really good book cover design. Mm. It makes a huge difference. I've published a book in the past before, and what makes the difference is the cover. People buy a book. I mean, I do, but people buy books by how they look. And obviously,
of course, we all judge books by their covers.
let alone people, but we do it with books as well. And it makes such a difference. I use 99 Designs. First time I'd used 99 Designs, and I was very impressed with the service of 99 Designs. Do you write the book to make money on this? The answer to that is no. I don't think this is going to be on Oprah Winfrey's choice of books to buy. I don't think you might see this book on the New York Times bestseller list. The reason isn't to try and make some money from this. I might cover the costs of it, and if I do that, great. If I make a bit more than that, fine. But this, as a speaker, you need to have something that sort of backs up. Otherwise, what is your authority based on? You know, and A book does give you credibility. So that was the first step for me. And I know that probably somebody listening to this goes, well, I could never do that. Yes, you can do. If you can speak, if you can you can write 20 blog posts, you can. Your book doesn't have to be 500 pages long. No. It doesn't need to be that.
In fact, you could start a blog, right, and then write a bunch of blog posts and then put them all together. I've actually gone and had – I went on Fiverr and had all my podcast interviews transcribed. And they're sitting there and I'm like, you know, I'm going to go through them and I'm going to make them into a book, but not just the pure unedited transcriptions. Like, I want to edit them so it's actually a nice digestible piece of content. But that's something that I could put together into a book. But I've just had it sitting there and I haven't done anything with it. So – thanks for giving me a kick in the bum.
The art of that, Christina, is to not think you're going to do it all in one go. If you say, right, I'm going to do one a week, be realistic about it, or I'm going to do two a week, 3 months from now or whatever, you'll have a book. If you think I'm going to sit down and write this week, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. It's not. You know, 6 months from now, you're going to be saying, oh, one day I'm going to take all these transcriptions and put them in a book. It's not going to happen. But if you try to get something realistic and say, you know, I could do one a week, and have the patience and the persistence to stick at it, then 6 months down the road, you can publish a book. While I was developing that, along that, then I started to develop the website. And for people who aren't necessarily technically minded or maybe not very creative with the way that they would look at a blog space, Squarespace is a tremendously simple platform to use to end up getting a very, very good looking website without too much difficulty at all.
Okay. I'll pop a link to deathgoesdigital.com. Is it deathgoesdigital.com?
Yeah.
I'll pop a link to that into the show notes so that people can go there and have a look. Let's move on to some of the more like hustle things that people need to do in terms of getting the actual speaking gigs. Let's say you've got your book, or you've got a body of work online, you've got blog posts, you've got your website set up, you've got your LinkedIn profile, you've got all your online profiles set up and your social media set up, and now it's time to actually go and get the speaking gigs. Where do you start?
Okay. One thing is you need to know where the speaking gigs are.
Okay.
Step one has to be where are conferences taking place? Where are events taking place? Not only this year, but next year. You know, you have to start. I'd love to be speaking next week in this environment, but the reality is it's not going to happen. It might take 6 months before you put the hustle in now for the events that are taking place, because a good event, to be honest, will have the speakers booked 6 months, some of them even a year in advance. So Eventbrite is what you need to look at and sort of look and see what events are coming up and do some searches around that, around your topic, whether you're willing to travel the length of the country or wherever you're, or even overseas or whatever. Do some research. And Eventbrite obviously is a great place. Set up Google Alerts for the areas that you want to talk about. Maybe for me, funeral planning and conference is a place. And then from that, you're looking for the conference organizers. And then you need to directly contact them. Be willing to be putting yourself on a reserve list. What I'm developing right now is my list of speeches. And although I might not have written all those speeches yet, I will have really good titles and an idea of what the speech will be.
So when you contact the organizers, you introduce yourself and then do you send them this list of speeches?
Yeah, I'd send them a book. And
I forget the book.
Yeah. I send them a book, and then I say, here's some of the topics that I could speak about. And as with like blog writing or as with creative video content, the headline is critical. Your title of your speech is really, really critical. Yeah, you can put a little bit of a paragraph or whatever about what the speech is going to be about, but if the headline of the speech doesn't grab people, then they're probably not going to be, you know, thinking about booking you.
Can you give me an example of a headline, an attention-grabbing headline?
Well, let's do one that I did at the moment. How to respond digitally to the problem of funeral debt. In the UK, funeral debt is a huge issue. It's just recently been in the news quite a bit. In other places of the world, it's probably different. Well, I don't know, it might be the same. People on low incomes are really struggling because they can't afford to pay for a funeral. And so they're going into debt. They're getting credit card debt. They're getting these what we call payday loans. And so that is a hot topic right now. So I wanted to write something about that. It's a speech that would be interesting to the funeral industry because they're not only obviously are the customers getting into debt, but funeral directors are going into debt because the people aren't paying their bills.
So something that's a hot topic.
Hot topic.
And I noticed you also addressed a problem as well, and a solution to the problem.
Yeah. Obviously, look at the conference. There's one conference that's coming up that I pitched an idea in, and they rejected it. To be fair, on reflection, it was probably right that they rejected it. Initially, I thought, oh well, if you don't want me, that's fine. You know, I'll go and speak to somebody else. If you don't want me, that's fine. I don't care. But I actually, you know, somebody once said, didn't they, the best critics are your critics, and you need to listen sometimes. And I went back and I looked at the conference, and I looked at what the aims of the conference was, and I probably really didn't do as good a job as I could have done of writing a headline for a speech that spoke better or more clearly to the themes of the conference. And they rejected it, which is fair enough. You know, I mean, you're going to end up. But I learned from that. So if you're looking at events, really, really study what's the conference about, who are the speakers that they're already announcing that are going to be there, and what are they speaking about, and what could you add into that that really is relevant to the topic of the conference, not necessarily what you want to talk about, but what is it that people want to hear. The other thing is create an event for you to speak at. This is a bit more of an advanced thing to do. I mean, I could try to create my own conference. That's, you know, that people do that, and you know, it can work. But I'm not ready for that yet. But there are some events taking place that I can piggyback on, and one of them, again, it's niche because I understand my marketplace. In the UK, in May, they have an event which is called Dying Matters Week, and it's a national event, and people do all sorts of kind of local based events around this national initiative. It'll be in the press and it'll be on TV. So I'm going to piggyback on that. I'm going to do a local event in my town, just a small event, and invite people to it. It won't be maybe 12 to 20 people is all it'll be because of the size of the venue, but I shall film it. I shall get some photographs taken, and in such a way that helps with the publicity for the future, because it looks as if you've got some content that you're speaking in front of an audience. That sparks interest. People get to know you, and you never know with those small events. It's like you've just done your grand tour of the Philippines. You just don't know who's in the audience, do you? You just don't know who's going to see that and how it goes. And so you sometimes have to hustle. And it's difficult, Christina, when you want to build the business between speaking for awareness and trying to get paid. And quite often you have people coming to you, well, we'd like you to come and speak at this event. Well, how much are you paying? Oh, we can't pay you, but you'll get awareness about who you are. Well, you know, the gas company doesn't like awareness. They like money. and the local supermarket won't exchange a can of baked beans for my book. You know, it's just not going to happen. And so it's very difficult sometimes. You have to get the balance between, I want to be paid, but I want some awareness, and it's difficult
when you have that moment where someone actually says, we'd like you to speak, what do you charge?
Okay.
That's a whole nother dance.
It is
what do you do then?
Yeah, you know, that I was having a conversation with somebody about that the other day, and they said, you know, you need to pitch for the highest price that you think you could possibly get and be willing to negotiate down. I'm not so sure about that. At the stage where I am and I'm trying to build something, it's very different from somebody who's got a big name and everybody wants to get them to come and whatever. So I've developed a price list and I give people the price list. And then it saves the awkward conversation about how much do you charge. So I've developed like different levels of speaking that I can do. And on the basis of that, people know up front what it is that they're going to be expecting.
Is it based on the time frame that you're speaking?
Yeah, whether it's like, you know, I haven't been asked to do one yet for this particular subject. I've done it for other subjects, but some like keynote event. Mm. You know, you have to think about how am I going to pitch that, the cost? How do you work out the cost of that? Well, you have to think about how long is it going to take me to write it? How long is it going to take me to rehearse it? How much is it going to cost me to get to the event? How much is it, you know, all of those things, and add that in. And either I work on a daily rate. I know what I'm trying to do on a daily rate. And I think, okay, you know, that's going to take me 3 days to do, to write it, to draft it out a few times, to rehearse it loads of times, and to go and deliver it, travel there to get there. It's going to take me 3 days. That's 3 days my day rate, plus any expenses. Mm. So that could be travel. It could be a hotel expense.
So when you give them the price list and they say, we can't afford that, do you negotiate with them at all, or do you say, okay, we'll take it or leave it? If you can't afford it, I'm not doing it.
I've done both. I've done both. And also I've done a process of bartering. In one event that I went to, they paid all the expenses, and instead of paying me, they were able to provide me some marketing services, which really helped my business. Now for them, it didn't cost them anything but time, because they were really good at developing what they did. If I'd have paid for their services to do what they did for me, it would have cost me quite a bit of money. And I couldn't do the work that they were doing for me. So that worked really well. And I was, and I'm quite open to that at this moment in time. What I'm trying to do with this new business is like, I've got to have other sources of income. If people are saying you want to go into speaking and you want to make a living out of it, to try to go from day one for it to be generating all the income that you want, it's not going to happen. And I'm looking at a sort of probably 12 to 18 month time span before I really, really start to see that I'm getting paid quite good rates for the speaking that I'm doing. And I've got to do a lot of bit work between now and then.
And for that to be a full-time, let's say you or someone who's developing a speaking business, they want to develop it into a full-time speaking business, how many gigs are we talking in a year or in a month?
Okay, that would come back to how much you want to earn. For me, the process that I'm in at this moment in time in my life, I am looking to work probably a little bit less time and have more freedom than necessarily be traveling all over the world and speaking. I love all that and I've done that. But in this particular instance in my life and with this particular business, what I'm looking to do is to generate sufficient income for me to be able to spend a couple of months of the year traveling. And so I've worked it back and said, what do I want to earn? How many, what are my expenses in the business going to be? So what does my net income need to be? And at my daily rate, how many days work in a year do I need to get? Now, I know it's going to take me 18 months to get to that process. To answer the question, how many gigs? You know, some people who will go and speak who are at the top of the field can get paid thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds for one keynote speech.
Yeah, they only need to do 2 gigs a year.
Yeah. with the way that I live, I might get away with one. And, you know, this is where the question for the person who's listening and they want to build a speaking business, you've got to ask these questions. And I spent a lot of time thinking about this with me before I started launching this business. What's life about? Is life about me making a lot of money? Is it about me becoming famous? Well, the answer to those things for me now is no. It might be for somebody else. And there's nothing wrong with those two things, you know, at all. I've got no problem with either of those things. But for me, it isn't what it is for me. There's some things that the way I want to live life in terms of travel and spending time with people and just the place I'm at right now, where speaking gives me the opportunity to be a bit more flexible in how I organise my work life. And I'd like, my goal is to work 42 weeks a year, 4 days a week. And that is my goal that I'm working towards. And then the other 10, 12 weeks of year, I mean, if I can stretch it 10 weeks at least, is try and be traveling and doing some of the other things that makes life really fun and enjoyable. So go back to answer your question, how many gigs? You've got to do that calculation. Mm. You've got to go and say, what do I want to earn net? Because a lot of people don't do this. There, what are my expenses are going to be? So what's my gross earnings need to be? How much is my daily rate going to be? So therefore, I need to get X amount of days work in a year. A speaking gig like this, for instance, this conference, I'm going to be the keynote speaker. I'm not doing just a breakfast club meeting for 10 minutes or something. I'm doing a proper training session. That's going to take me 3 days. If I don't charge three times my day rate for that, I'm not going to achieve my earnings for the year. And a lot of people, this is what I talk about helping speakers become entrepreneurs. They don't run it as a business. They just want to speak. They just want to get up on a stage. Oh, I love speaking. I love it. I love it when I get on the stage. I love it. And the applause. And yeah, but actually that's the sort of, like, you know, if you're thinking of the iceberg, that's just the very tip underneath all that. You've got to have a business plan. You've got to have you need to know these figures. You need to know, like, for instance, I keep a record of how many people am I speaking to get a gig. So eventually I know that I might have to speak to 50 people to get a gig. But at least I know that for a lot of people, they haven't even got that. What I think are the basic fundamentals of business. You got to know who your audience is, who's your customer, what the potential for the marketplace is, how much do I want to earn, and how does that break down into individual jobs? If you're building a business, you have to know those fundamental facts and figures. Otherwise, it's just a hobby.
Yeah, totally.
All right, one other thing, Christina, is I think that you have to be realistic. I think there's a lot of stuff on the web that says, oh, you can become an overnight success, you know, in no time at all, you can have 50,000 subscribers and you can be sitting on a beach in Thailand and you can run your business this way, you know. Yes, does that happen? Yes, of course it does do. But I think you have to be realistic. And I think I'm looking at saying I need to probably be hustling this for 18 months before I start to really see some, financial benefit, good financial benefit from what I'm doing. And I think if people aren't willing to say, you know, I'm in this for consistently and persistently, I'm going to work at this, then don't even start. Don't even start. If you think you're going to get this up and running in 3 months, good luck to you. You might just click. The reality is it don't work like that. The most people that have been overnight successes, it's taken them 10 years. And that's just the reality. And you can't kid yourself about it any other way.
And that's the same with any business, really.
Mm.
You often don't see all the hard slog that goes into it. And when you're building a speaking business as well, it's so heavily based on relationships, just like you were saying, relationships with the event organizers and the people who are, you know, who make all the final decisions. And they're not just going to trust you immediately. You need to take that time. And sometimes it takes years to build up enough trust with someone for them to eventually hire you.
Yeah, that's so true.
So now we've got our speaking gig. We can negotiate pay. We've been paid for a couple of gigs. That's awesome. Are there any steps after that? How can you best take advantage of those initial gigs to propel you even further forward? Is there anything in particular you would suggest?
I think to gain momentum, I think you have to build an online platform around your speaking. I think that the kind of stuff that, you know, both of us are trying to do in terms of blogging and podcasting, maybe even probably speaking video content, is really important because it backs up your ability to speak in public with somebody being able to look online and see what you're like. I think that I suppose it would depend what you want to do with your speaking business. For me, and a lot of people speak so that they can create something online which starts to provide them with, you know, the in phrase, passive income. And it's like the speaking actually is a means to an end. The end really is I want to create some books, I want to create some products, I want to create something online that can generate income. And the speaking is a means to an end to that. For other people, it's the speaking that's the end part. And I think it probably has to be reversed. You have to do all the stuff, the online stuff first to get that opportunity. I don't know. It's a really good question, Christina. I think what I need to do is think about that some more, because I think to maintain momentum is probably quite difficult. If you've made it and people want you as a speaker, you have to keep fresh. You know, there's some really good speakers around, and I've heard them speak, and they end up saying the same thing, and it's like, oh no. And with the web, you know, I went to a conference recently, a new media conference, and everybody is periscoping the keynote speeches. Well, if people are doing that, if you can't create new content all the time, people will be going, well, I don't need to go and listen to this guy because I can go online, I can hear his speech or her speech. I think to keep momentum, you're going to need to keep producing something new.
That old chestnut, hard work, hey?
It's never going to go away.
It's never going to go away. Well, thank you so much, Peter, for being a guest on the show. For the second, well, the first time on this show, but the second time that we've spoken, I've learned a lot from you in this chat, and you've definitely given me more drive to go out there and hustle more. Because I have been getting speaking gigs, but I haven't been hustling as much as I should be. All the best with building your business, Pete, and I look forward to following your journey and seeing how goes.
And you too, Christina. I have to congratulate you on the content that you're sending out with your podcast. I think the email that you send out advertising your podcast is really good. It's really intriguing. It makes you want to click the video. And I think you could make a living as a ukulele player. I think you should give up. I think you should give up all this communication stuff, and I think you ought to make a living as a full-time ukulele player. You can start a new business. Let me create your introduction for your podcast on myukulele.com. There you go.
Thanks again to Peter Billingham. Just to recap those steps that we went through, step one, find your niche. Step two, write a book. Step three, create a website. Step four, find events to speak at or create your own events. And then step five, establish your pricing and what you want to charge. I will definitely be implementing some of those things that we talked about, especially the writing a book thing. I'm gonna give that really good go because Peter really, really emphasized the importance of that. If you want links to everything we talked about, including his book, Death Goes Digital, that new website that he's launched, and also his website, peterbillingham.com, where he has lots and lots of resources for speaking, I'll link all of that up in the show notes at thecmethod.com/Peter. Now, speaking of speaking, I'll be speaking at an online conference this Friday. Online conference, you might be wondering. Yes, it's all video streamed, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world. All you need is a computer and an internet connection. And the conference is all about co-working. It's called the People at Work Summit, and you can find it at peopleatworksummit.com. You may be aware that I'm very fond of my co-work space, Hub Melbourne, and I'm very excited to be sharing my co-working experience and what I've learned about how and where I work for optimum productivity. So if you're interested in co-working, the future of work, and building communities in the workplace, go to peopleatworksummit.com for more information. It's happening on the 21st of April, so it's this Friday. Tickets are $99, and if you want to sign up, use the code THECMETHOD to get $10 off. I'll also put links to everything to the conference in the show notes at thecmethod.com/Peter. Okay, and that wraps up episode 55. Thanks so much for tuning in. I really, really appreciate it. The ukulele song bits that you've been hearing throughout this episode is Time Is Running Out by British band Muse, one of my favourite bands. So if you want to start your speaking business or write that book, remember that. Life is short, so start it now. Time's running out.
I hope you enjoy the rest of your week, and I will see you next week for another episode. Keep on being awesome. My name's Christina Canters, and this has been Stand Out, Get Noticed.
Time Is Running Out by British band Muse. I think I'm drowning.